Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, that's right. Here is Mike and Linda, and our hope is to get you to look up to Jesus. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. In case you're wondering if this is a replay, rebroadcast, or for live, and we're live right now, but who knows next time you hear this.
It's according to how good of a message this is, if we decide to use it again.
Yeah, sometimes we figure, oh, that one, well, let's put that in the list of shows we may rebroadcast.
I thought it was the 6th, that's why.
Okay, she gave me this funny look. Yeah, and what happens is, in case you folks don't realize, we're live in studio Tuesday through Friday.
Or we try to be.
Yeah, with some exceptions. We're here live Tuesday through Friday. And then Mondays, we try to take a day off, which it didn't work out so well yesterday. We had a crazy day.
Oh, yeah. No.
But
it didn't work yesterday.
We didn't come into the studio yesterday. And so if you listen on Mondays, you will typically get a rebroadcast of one of our programs. We try to pick something that was worth listening to again, okay?
Yes.
And then, of course, on this same station, you can listen to a rebroadcast of one of our Sunday morning messages on Saturday night at 8 o'clock and then Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And so we're kind of on here every day of the week, one way or another, whether it's live or rebroadcast. So hopefully.
Yeah, we hardly ever tell them about It's All About Jesus. That's the show.
I thought maybe it's time to tell
them. On Sundays that we do. Yeah, I get to edit all those puppies, so I spend a lot of time with those. Hello, folks. We would love to hear from you today. If you'd like to give a call, be live on the radio with us. We're going to be starting a new topic today. So if you've got questions before we get started, it might be a good time to ask, especially if there's something off topic that you would like to discuss. The number is 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If you can't handle that thought of talking live on the radio, but believe me, it's not that scary. But you could text Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that one is 208-891-2600. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave comments. We respond to those appropriately. I always say that because we don't always respond to absolutely everything. If it did, then I could be having all these personal conversations with people up there. So it's best to stick to the word as much as we can and respond when we need to.
Right. Right. Sometimes people will ask a real serious question that we feel needs to be responded to, which, by the way, for those of you who are listening on the radio, I want to let you know that there's a lot of ways that we interact with our audience. We're using Facebook Live. We're using the text, our church phone for texting. And some people prefer one method over another. And Linda is kind of managing that. She's got the church phone, and she's watching the Facebook stuff. So if you do text in, we just have to decide, is this something you just make a comment, or is it a serious question you need answered right here and now?
And would it be appropriate right now with what we're discussing?
Right.
Would it break the flow of what the Lord's doing? I don't put it on. So... Okay. Oh, yeah. Bill, Mike just went through that one too. So,
what's that?
He said, pray for his wife. She's going through a colonoscopy like right now.
Oh, Lord bless her. Be with her.
Yes. Yeah. Not fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really not that scary. I recommend everybody, as you start getting up there in age, we got to go in for that colonoscopy. And for me personally, as long as you put me to sleep for a procedure like that, I'm okay. I don't want to be awake for stuff like that. So anyway, I don't know what your opinion is. That is not the topic of the show today, okay? So we won't be going there.
No Facebook Live colonoscopies.
Yeah, don't broadcast it. We're not going to post it up here. So listen, last week we were looking at Let's see. We went through a series of different things. We were looking at how do you know that, how can you have assurance of salvation? And we took some articles from, actually words from the article of the Fire Study Bible, which I think is a pretty decent study Bible if you're looking for a good study Bible, the Fire Study Bible. The only problem with this was there was a lot of negative kind of things. That's heart-searching. How can you have assurance? It didn't just say this prayer and claim this verse and now you're saved. Well, there's a lot of things you want to search your heart. Am I living for Jesus? Have I repented of my sins? Am I walking with God? Or did I just say a prayer once and then went my own way? So it did a lot of that. So if you missed that, you could go to Look Up to Jesus website. We have all of our podcasts and all of our past programs posted up there, and you could go through them. I think there was nine.
And you can find them by category.
Yeah.
That is really important to me, and I've been working hard. I was working all morning to get all the audios and the videos up, everything from last week. And it's really important that you're able to go. And we did title this one, Nine Assurances of Salvation, Part 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because there were 7 of them all together. And Mike says, I hate something like that. That sounds so long. I didn't know what else to call them. So you may see them change their name, or maybe you'll see a subtitle added to them eventually. But I wanted to put them in order so you could go through our shows in order with us. But we did cover 9 assurances of salvation, but we added a number 10 that we covered on Friday. Right. So I think you have just a couple scriptures left over from that you'd like to cover.
The number 10 was more on the positive note, and I've got a couple other things I want to look at.
We had to get positive
somewhere. The reason why I hate stuff like that, like I said, it's like I don't like, I will rarely start a series that says, you know, part 7 on it. I don't know if I want to watch part 1 unless it's something really, really exciting or something I'm really, really interested in. And so I wonder how many people would be, I don't know. I've become conditioned like a lot of the people today that unless you put everything in little 10-minute segments, I might not watch it. If I'm looking for something on YouTube and it says it's 2 hours and 40 minutes, I probably won't start it because I'll think I'm not going to have time to finish this. But if it says 15 minutes, I got 15 minutes, you know. So I don't know if you're like that.
Our shows are an hour.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
why
they're
going to
be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a challenge. But that's just I've been destroyed by the attention deficit society, and now I've got it. So anyway, let's look at a couple of these verses left over from last week on concerning salvation through faith rather than works. That's what we were looking at, and I think it's important to get that clear because that's one of the big distinctions between any cult and true Christianity. Now, there's a lot of different denominations. There's a lot of different churches. And as a matter of fact, it's funny. I had this dear brother ask me last Wednesday night at church, why are there so many different kinds of churches? Why don't we all just get together and have one big happy family? Why this church over there, and it's named this, and that church over there, and he was naming some of the churches in the area. And I tried to point out to him, there are some distinctions, like some people only like hymns. We've had people come to our church, and they don't stick around because you don't play enough hymns. You know, they only like hymns, and so they leave. Other people, they go to
don't
church.
Don't like hymns.
They don't want hymns. They want rock, you know, or they want loud music.
And
you know?
They don't stay either.
Some of the things that distinguish churches are worship styles, rather than doctrinal beliefs, or the way you might even, I was looking at some churches today, some statements of faith of churches that some of you might even think is a cult. I'm thinking, their statement of faith is good. And yet the way they practice it, the way it plays out, it's a little radical compared to what you and I might do, okay? So be careful with that judgmental spirit thing, you know. If you're wondering about a church, what they believe, go to their website, look at the statement of faith, find out what they believe. You might find that they give answers a little different than you would give answers. But the real question is, are they still brothers in Christ?
Yes.
Okay? Are they really born again? But maybe a lot of Christians have not only different beliefs, but some Christians have wrong beliefs. In which, by the way, you might have some wrong beliefs and you don't even know it. I might have some wrong beliefs. And what my prayer is that as I move along and grow in Christ, the Lord better hurry because I'm getting older here. I'm hoping that as time goes on, I'll continue to be teachable, continue to be correctable, that if there's a false belief, and I've even done that even over the last couple of years, I'll stand before our congregation on a Sunday morning, and I'll say, you know what? As we're going through this text that I was preparing this week, I used to believe that this text said something totally different than it really does. I used to think this and come to that conclusion. Now, after looking at it a second time or third time, however long it's been, and looking more carefully and digging deeper, because I'm going to stand before you folks and teach it, I've changed my mind on what this really means or how to really apply this. So hopefully that's all, we're all in process and we're all growing in grace and we're all growing in our understanding of the scriptures. But don't be so quick to just bury a church or a pastor or a person because they believe different than you or they practice things different than you.
Or by what somebody else says about them.
Especially that.
Lord, we're a victim of that right now. Right, we're going through something like that. Just come and ask me, you know, you want the truth in something. Don't just presume something or listen to what other people have to say. Check it out yourself. You're responsible because there are so many little subgroups that are extremely judgmental and they are far out there, almost like a cult themselves. And they love, my phone's ringing. They love to, just pick apart. We were listening to something today, and it's like, oh my gosh, judgmental! Your little nose,
legalistic.
Your nose is in the air. Right. Excuse me. We're the body of Christ. We aren't to destroy each other.
Yeah. Build one another up. You know, always
the world hates us enough.
Yeah,
we don't need to hate each other. Yeah. Or to me, it almost hit me as, oh, you're just jealous. That's a jealousy thing because they're reaching people you would never be able to reach. Right. I don't know. Maybe that's judgment on my part. So we're going to be careful with this one.
Yeah.
But don't go there. Don't go there.
Right.
Love. Represent Christ appropriately. Hmm. Okay?
Yeah. You know, it's like my friend Matt Slick would often say. He says that a Christian firing squad is a circle. They're all shooting at each other. And that's a shame because we need to learn to give a pass to each other when you kind of approach that different than I would, but that's okay. If you're a brother and I'm a brother, we really both follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, then let's agree to disagree on some things. Anyway, all that came from when I was talking about the distinction.
I just want to say to Mark, hey, our motto is it's all about Jesus. And that's what we try to keep. Our church is it's all about Jesus. And you know what? We feel like we're starting to see a little bit of a revival, a little stirring, a little waking up that little sleepy church that we've had. And boy, I think we got the enemy mad when we did that one.
Right,
and the attacks have been coming. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because the Lord is moving and we're seeing it. And we're seeing it in the hearts of people. We're seeing hearts waking up. So, bring revival, Lord, and if it means we take a few darts or arrows or rocks or whatever they're throwing at us, I guess we take them, don't we, dear?
Well, we don't have a choice.
We don't have a choice.
And you know,
we're not going to compromise.
Keep in mind what we're trying to encourage you all to do is understand there's varieties of churches with varieties of worship styles, and there's a difference between what's a cult and what's just a different denomination. You know, I mean, I heard one particular church being criticized on YouTube, a big expose against this church, and one of the things, several things that were against this church was the decibel level of their music is so high, it's like a rock concert, and all these young people there, you would think it's a nightclub. It's like, you know, they used to say that similar things about the Jesus movement when all the hippies were gathering in the early 70s in Chuck Smith's little tent when I was a part of that Jesus movement. But there was real revival there.
Amen,
so you be careful that you throw stones at the wrong people, okay? Now, anyway, that's a whole other thing we're dealing with right now. But one of the things I wanted to clarify before we get into this salvation through faith rather than works is that is the big difference between a cult and the Christian church. A cult will tell you that you have to do more than just trust Christ to be saved. You have to, it's Jesus plus something else. You've got to believe in Jesus, and then you've got to get baptized, and then you've got to go through our classes, and then you've got to go on a two-year mission, and then you've got to be sealed in the temple, whatever. I mean, there's all this extra stuff that a cult would add to your requirements of being right with God. okay? The plan of salvation is not just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household, you know, like the jailer said, was told by Peter, you know. So we've got to stay biblical. And the difference between a cult and a denomination would be a cult will give you false doctrine and try to tell you that you can't, they'll take you away from just trusting in Christ and a relationship with Christ for salvation. Now, the denominations, and I don't know, I wasn't planning on talking about all this, but I think maybe the Lord's leading in this direction. You got to understand there's grace between different denominations. There are some denominations that you go to that church, and particularly, and it's, some of it's cultural. You know, like when you go down to Alabama, we had friends who lived in Alabama. We go visit that church, and they'd say, women do not wear pants in these churches. You got to wear a dress, and it's got to be a long dress.
And since I don't own a dress, that was hard.
Down to your ankles, you know. And so some of it's cultural. And if that's – it's the area they are planted in, and it's the culture that they're in. And it's not a big doctrine. Of course, they could make a doctrine out of it. But
it's not.
Right. Okay. And here's the thing. That's what causes a lot of different denominations. The style of music, the dress codes that they expect of you in this church, even sometimes the haircuts. You know, I remember back when we were in Calvary Chapel, it was first starting. It was a lot of hippies. And you don't go to, like, when I met my wife, she was going to a Southern Baptist church. And I got saved through a Calvary Chapel church. And you don't just show up at a Southern, at least back then, a Southern Baptist church, a guy with hair down to your hip, you know, be stared at or maybe even kicked out. I don't know how bad it would be. But a lot of
they would have definitely said something.
They would have.
Yes, they would have said something.
So here's the thing. Denominations are just worship styles, dress codes, preferences. And there are a few doctrinal things where some denominations would have preferences doctrinally, like, for instance, the charismatic gifts. Some denominations will believe in the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and some and such. And other denominations would say that all passed away with the apostles. So there are more important distinctions as well. But it looks like Linda just got a text.
But that doesn't have to do with our salvation. Okay? Right. That is your practice on earth of how you practiced your Christianity. Okay, we just had someone say, because you said you're saved by faith and not works, but being saved inspires you to do good works of kindness, etc., right?
I'm sorry. Somebody just gave me a text and I totally got distracted by it.
You said that you're saved by faith and not by works. But being saved inspires you to do good works of kindness, et cetera, and other things, right?
Yeah. Yes. Being saved gives you a new nature.
Yeah.
And when you're saved, what it means is you're born again, and now you have a new nature. Your old nature was a sinful nature. Your new nature wants to serve God and takes joy in worship and praising Him and seeking Him. Matter of fact, one of my favorite verses on that is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Everybody memorizes, or most Christians have memorized, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, but a lot of Christians skip verse 10. Let me tell you how it goes. Ephesians 2, 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So I'm glad you asked that question or looked for that clarification, because here's what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says. You're not saved by works, but you're saved to do works. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by the work that was done on the cross for you. You're saved by what Jesus did on the cross for you. But once you're saved, God has a good work for you to do. He's got a ministry for you. He's got a calling for you. No such thing as anybody who just gets saved to be saved and that's it. When people get saved, they get saved to serve God. As a matter of fact, I told you before, there was a group back in Southern California years ago. They used to wear these shirts, and it said, "Saved to Serve." And I like that, these big shirts, they big letters across their shirt, "Saved to Serve." That's the point. And so for the one who wrote that in for clarification and texted Linda on that, we are saved by grace through faith, faith in Christ, faith in what He did on the cross for us. He did the work to save us. But once we're saved, He certainly has a work for you to do. He certainly has a calling in your life. And if you're born again, You better be looking for it. Lord, what do you have for me? Now that I'm yours, Lord. Show me what you have for me. Are there people you want me to talk to about you? Are there coworkers or family members or classmates, depending on your stage of life? Lord, how do you use me, and how do you want me to be used, and what do you want me to do? And as if you're saved, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 teaches that people who are saved also have spiritual gifts. And so you should be saying, Lord, what are my spiritual gifts? I want to serve you. I want to minister to the body of Christ. I want to reach the lost for you. And so if you're actually born again, if you're actually saved, you don't get saved by your works. You get saved by his work on the cross, believing in what he did for you on the cross. But now, Lord, show me. I want to serve you. Show me how I could work for you. Show me what I could do to live for you.
We got a new question.
Okay.
If you want to handle this, he says, you may not want to address this today. However, we haven't started our topic yet, Mark, so why not? I have noted an effort to move away from the Old Testament. I have even heard and read mainstream statements that the Old Testament is not for the Christian church.
Oh, wow.
Personally,
yeah.
I do not know how we can separate one from the other. If we want to want an understanding of the law, Old Covenant, and grace, New and Better Covenant, I attribute my better understanding of the New Testament to the study of the Old Testament. There.
Good. No, that's a good question. And Mark, I absolutely agree with you, because you really can't get the full picture of who Christ is without an understanding of the Old Testament. Now, I understand people could get saved without knowing the whole Old Testament. I got saved and I didn't know the Bible very well. Matter of fact, when Linda and I started dating, I realized she knew a lot of the Old Testament stories. And I said, you got to tell me some of these stories and share the. And I couldn't
keep
up.
We learned those in a Baptist church, and I didn't start going until I was like 11.
Yeah. So I got saved and went right to the New Testament. And so you could get saved without knowing the Old Testament. But I'm going to tell you something, and Mark, you're right on this. The more you know the whole Bible, the more you can appreciate Jesus, because there's an old saying that says the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And it's true. Many of the laws and ordinances of the Old Testament were hints and pictures of Jesus Christ who was to come. I mean, one that comes to mind is when Moses was in the wilderness and the children of Israel were dying from snake bites, and Moses says, what are we going to do? And God told him to make a brass serpent and set it up, and whoever gets bit by one of these snakes, look at the brass serpent on the pole and they'll be cured. Now, I'm really trying to cut this story short, but it's worth going back and reading in the Old Testament. But the whole thing was, that was a picture of Jesus. The very thing that was killing the people, it was a picture of the serpent on the pole. They'd look to it to be healed, and it was a picture of someday there's going to come one who's going to be raised up on a tree, and he's going to bear your sins. And the very things that's killing you, your sins, he will bear. And you look to him, and you can be forgiven of your sins, and you can be set free. And so there's so many stories like that in the Old Testament that were pictures of what was to come in the New Testament. And even Jesus brought that up in John 3:16. Before John 3:16, Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever sees him and believes in him will have eternal life. And then he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then you get the John 3:16. So look at the context. So much of the New Testament will allude to Old Testament stories, and you won't get it. It won't be as deep and meaningful unless you know those Old Testament stories. And I think Linda's reading more stuff, but here, let me say one more thing before we see her next question here.
I have a comment, so that's
okay.
Here.
There was a mission organization called New Tribes. I think they recently just changed their name, but it was called New Tribes. And they would train missionaries to go up into foreign lands that have never been reached with the gospel. And their plan, and at first I thought this was kind of odd when I first heard it, and the more I chewed on it, the more I thought it was a great plan. And if anybody out there knows what the new name of New Tribes is, maybe you could text it to us, because someone was just telling me this story that I met recently, and New Tribes has changed their name. But the whole plan was they would send missionaries, train them up, and go into a new land that haven't heard the gospel, and they would stay in a village, and they would teach the natives the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, they didn't go as in-depth, like, here's a 25-year program. I don't even think they took 5 years. But it was an accelerated picture of God's plan of redemption, starting with Genesis. And then, by the time they got to the New Testament and told these natives, these mm-hmm. unreached people groups, and start teaching them about Jesus, then it clicked. It started clicking, because they knew that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. They knew about the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament that was a picture of Christ who was to come. And so I like this. The more I thought about it, but it just takes longer to share the gospel with these unreached people groups, that you've got to give them a picture of the Old Testament before they can appreciate the New Testament. And, you know, I say that often when I share the gospel door to door, or when I've shared the gospel with folks, I say, look, before you could appreciate the good news, you've got to understand the bad news. And the bad news is clearly laid out in the Old Testament, but of course it's there in the New as well. So you could start there, but eventually you better go back and study the Old Testament.
I put the name up there for you.
Yeah, like I can't read it. So
Ethnos 360.
Oh, is that the name of it?
Yes.
Ethnos 360.
Okay. And I'm not sure what ethnos means. I'm not finding that one yet.
Okay. Now, Bobby is asking about Mission Aviation Fellowship. That is not the same as New mm-hmm. Tribes, but that's an excellent mission group that will go into lands and deliver medicine, deliver missionaries, bring Bibles. I mean, they're
aviation. As a church, we support them. Yeah. We support missionaries, and we support
monthly,
their
we send monthly checks to Mission Aviation Fellowship.
We had just another comment.
Okay.
Jesus said in John 17 that we are sanctified by his truth, which is the word of God. At the time Jesus said that, all they had was the Old Testament.
Very good.
Yes.
No, that's very good. that's good. Now, also keep in mind, when Jesus said that, he had already trained his disciples for almost 3 years. That was near the end of his life mission, and he had been teaching them the Word of God, and so it was certainly Old Testament was the Word of God, but also that statement includes all the words that Jesus had spoken to his disciples was the Word of God. Because if you remember in John 17, he also says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Mm. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So I'm combining two chapters, sorry. but in John 17, Jesus clearly says that you're sanctified in truth. That was a prayer that he said to his Father, your word is truth. But he told his disciples in that same chapter, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, since I quoted two chapters, maybe it's all in John 15. Anyway, that's what I get for not looking it up to reading you the address, but I know that's what it says. Okay, let's start our topic today, which, I think it was a worthy sidetrack of things we needed to clarify. I take it that the Lord, you know, there's people listening right now. And can I tell you, when you listen into the radio, in many ways, I'm going to say it's like going to church. God can speak to you anywhere. God can speak to you in church. He could speak to you as you just stay home and read your Bible. And he could speak to you through the radio. And I believe there's been many times God has spoken prophetically through our radio ministry, where we'll be in the middle of saying something, and all of a sudden we both sense it, like, ooh, there's somebody out there right now who needs to hear this. And so I'm taking it as what we just talked about, salvation by grace through faith, and then needing to work after you're saved. Everything we've just clarified, the first half of the program, somebody out there really needed to hear it. We're going to move on after the station break, but you can hear the music. I can too. We'll be back in about 60 seconds.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise. Radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, You can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
All right, I'm thankful for that station break because it got me gave me a chance to take a breath and look ahead at the verse we're going to look at next, because where we were last week was dealing with how we're saved, not through works and not through keeping the laws of the Bible, but through faith. And there's two different texts I want to look at, and the first one is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul says, "For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now, I want to read a couple more verses, but I want you to look at that phrase, righteousness by faith. Matter of fact, I should have done a search of how many times that's found in the Bible, because that is the theme of Galatians and even of Romans, probably several other books I'm not thinking of right now, that righteousness by faith is the theme. I would say that's what separates Christianity from the cults. The cults would say righteousness by works, righteousness by keeping our rules, righteousness by believing our prophets, righteousness by fill in the blank, okay? That will be what a cult will do. Ask someone who you wonder if they're in a cult or not, how can I be righteous before God? And if they don't say you're righteous by faith, they're wrong, okay? Because you look through the Bible, and right here, this is just one of many, many. Matter of fact, Romans 5:1 comes to mind. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with, speech impediment today. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's really important to realize we're justified by faith. We are made righteous by faith. I probably should do a by faith search, find all the verses in the Bible.
You did, I think.
I thought we did this already. We're all the things that the Bible says happened by faith. But here's one of them. Listen, let me read it again after saying that and see if this clicks with you, okay? For we through the Spirit, Paul writes, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're looking for Jesus to come back. We're looking to be right before him, and it's righteous by faith. By what kind of faith? By faith in Jesus Christ. Let me continue reading here, Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now stop right there, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot here that if you don't know the Old Testament, like Mark just texted us about, you won't get this. Whether circumcision, it says neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails. What he's saying there, if you know the background to this, is there was a whole group of people in the early church who were insisting that in order to be saved, you have to become a Jew and then you become saved. If you're a Gentile, you got to become Jewish first, you got to keep the law of Moses, and you've got to be circumcised. That's one of the big deals about the Jewish faith. It's the sign of being right with God to the Jew was circumcised. Just like to us today, the sign is being baptized. If you get baptized, you're saying, I believe Christ died for me and rose again. And our covenant sign is baptism. Theirs was circumcision. And so there was a big split right there. There was actually people who were Jewish believers, but they were those of the circumcised or of the circumcision. And it was those who believed you had to be a Jew before you could become a Christian. You had to follow the law of Moses and get circumcised. So the Galatians were struggling with this. And when Paul wrote this, he was trying to give an antidote for this big mess of believing that you could be saved by faith, but it has to be also law of Moses, circumcision, and so on. So for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. He's saying none of this really matters. What matters is faith working through love. Mm-hmm. And so what really matters is you put your trust in Christ and you love God mm-hmm. with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and then you walk in Faith. I think this means we have a phone call. Is it okay? We have a phone call, and it's Mrs. Chris. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So what is your question? I get a little notes here on the white pad, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah. So my question, so I've been saved for over 20 years. I've been a Bible teacher for probably 12 years in leading Bible studies here in the Valley. And I don't know if you're familiar with these speakers, but there's a whole sect of speakers from the Women of Faith, which now has disbanded, that took on this whole thought process of, because Jesus didn't address homosexuality in the New Testament, Paul did, that it's okay. And so you have all these Bible teachers, and I know the Methodist Church and all of that has gotten involved in the voting of that.
Right.
So I'm very familiar. Well, I've been listening to sermons on this, but you have all these speakers who have huge platforms across the country who have now, like Jen Hatmaker is one of them, and you see all this division. And I do feel like the church has not loved that community well. And I say this because I was saved in my early 20s. And if someone would have condemned me instead of showing me kindness and love and letting the Holy Spirit convict me of my sin, then I don't know that I would have, if I would have felt hatred, I would have never turned to the Lord. But I would love to hear your take on this, because Jesus doesn't address it in the New Testament. And that's kind of where they're hanging their hat.
Yeah.
And so Paul addresses it, and then, of course, it's addressed in the Old Testament.
Right.
So I would just love to hear your perspective on this.
Well, Mrs. Chris, thank you for calling, because I think this is really important, and it's kind of along the lines of some of the things we've been looking at here. I got lots to say, but it looks like Linda's waving her hand like she wants to say something, so don't go away. I don't know.
Well, one thing I do want to bring up is a story from our lives, okay? And the way the story goes is, I was saved because my sister started going to church. Then I started going. Well, she fell away and fell into being a homosexual. Her title for herself was Radical Feminist Homosexual. For 35 years, I prayed for her. And I didn't give up praying for her. And one day, it was that desperation. I either find God and get some answers, or I take my life for her. She found the Lord. She found the Lord. And it was really exciting. And I sat there and I was so excited. She's still in a homosexual lifestyle, but she found the Lord. But I loved her. And we loved her well, even when she wasn't seeking the Lord. And I did not preach at her. And one day, months later, she was reading her Bible and she had come across Romans 1. And she told me, I shouldn't be doing this anymore, should I? You know what? Mm-hmm. 3 months, some people would judge me and say, you should have told her she was living in sin. You know what? God was working a process in her. The Holy Spirit had to do that through his word. And sometimes we are so quick to jump on people, we turn them away. Jesus ate with the sinners, you know? So
I feel like that's what we've done a little bit in the church is, you know, we condemn the sin, and yet all they see is hatred instead of kindness and love.
That's right.
And I really see it as a perspective of, I would not have been saved in my early 20s. I was deep in sin, and yet the people that surrounded me were loving me to Christ. They just, they were letting God do the work and convicting me through the Holy Spirit, as opposed to them passing judgment and hatred of my sin on. And, you know, so I just feel like I understand this greatly, as far as, like, we're not going to be able to turn them to the Lord without love.
Absolutely.
But then it's like, where is that fine line? Because you have these Christian speakers across the country. And, you know, one of the Women of Faith speakers that I saw on that final tour actually left her husband and is in a homosexual relationship, marriage. I think she even got married.
Wow.
And so you have these huge, high-profile, you know, they toured all over the country, and now they're speaking, you know, that it's all okay because Jesus didn't say, you know, and so...
Yeah, well, you know, Miss Chris, where you draw the line is, we try to win them to God, win them to Christ, and once they know the word, just like Linda's sister, she started reading it and found it for herself. But you don't win someone to Christ by going around and identifying all the specific sins. I think you're right on the money there. Now, of course, you've revealed some of these women; they've just swung the wrong way. Where you draw the line is, you don't say it's not a sin. You're just not going around trying to make a big deal of the sin. Like that guy, I forget his name, who would walk out or go to veterans' funerals holding signs saying "God hates fags." It's like, what the heck?
Yes.
What are you doing? Because the guy was whacked out, but you're certainly not going to save any sinners that way. God hates fags, really? That is just not. Now, the fact is homosexuality a sin? Well, you could build a really good case through the scriptures to prove that. But that's not how where you start. God hates fags. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, and I think there's a lot of churches today, and you're right on the money. And I think it's timely because right now I'm dealing with sorting out through. There's a lot of people coming to me and saying, "Do you use music from this certain group, this denomination, because they are, you know, they have wrong doctrinal views and you shouldn't use their music, and they put out great worship songs." So I'll go online and I'll watch the YouTube interviews and all the things that they're accused of, and people are trying to pin them down, or like the pastor of this movement, and "Do you think homosexuals are in sin?" And he actually avoided answering the question, but he didn't say no. "Do you believe it's wrong to have an abortion? Would you tell people in your church it's a sin to have an abortion?" He refused to say, yes, it's a sin, but he didn't say, no, it's not a sin. He says, "Well, we need to have a family talk about that." And I think he's right. I think you start with, let's get this person saved first. Let's get this person to understand that God loves them and Jesus died for them. And once they become a part of the family of God, now we can have family conversations about these things.
And allow the Holy Spirit to speak.
Yes. So, you know, and this guy is being thrown under the bus, and all the music that comes from his movement, don't play it in your church. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's like there's a witch hunt going on. But I think I understand what he's doing. Because I went online today and looked at this church's statement of faith, and everything in their statement of faith was right on. It's just his approach. He's taking a careful approach. And you know what it made me think of, Miss Chris?
To not alienate.
Yeah, to not alienate, like you said. And Miss Chris, one of the things I thought of is Paul at Mars Hills. It said he was at Mars Hill in Greece, and his heart was stirred because of all the idolatry. And instead of getting up and saying, "You sinners, all of this is idolatry. You're going to hell. This is all false." He found a statue dedicated to the unknown God. And he says, "Folks, this is the God I want to tell you about." What a clever thing. He used wisdom, and he really was able to reach out to those in Athens and Mars Hill because he used wisdom and tact, and he didn't alienate them. So thank you for calling, because this has been heavy on my heart in many ways. And I think our listeners need to weigh through some of this stuff. Do you win people by standing up and holding a sign and saying God hates gays or God hates abortion? Is abortion murder? Yes, I believe it is. But you don't reach a mother who's wrestling over whether to abort her child. She needs to see the love of God. You need to have mercy on her. Anyway, see, you got me going here, okay?
I think. So why do you think Jesus didn't address it too? I mean, if I wish he would have, because then it would be so black and white that way. And I think that's where they're hanging their hat, is because he didn't address it.
Well, personally, I don't think he addressed it because it wasn't a big issue in the area where he was at. I think that it didn't need addressing. I think the Jews had very strong laws against homosexuality. It wasn't just opinion. The law of Moses clearly condemned homosexuality. And so his soapbox wasn't going around trying to make that clear because it was already clear. And just like today, people are trying to fight it and address it because it's becoming a big hot topic. Christians are taking a stand, and I understand that. But I think that Jesus addressed the topic of his culture, and that just wasn't one of the hot issues of the time.
Well, the one thing
he didn't excuse it either, by the way.
Yeah, one thing that Jesus did address was adultery, and he made it even harder. And that definitely fits in there. Okay. I mean, it's like he said, not only is it committing the act, it's lusting after someone. You've already committed adultery in your heart. So he addressed sexual sin, and he addressed it really hard, you know, just because he didn't use that exact term we use today. You know, it's people looking for a way around. How much sin can I get away with and still go to heaven? And I'm sorry, that shouldn't be what we're looking at. What we should be looking at in our lives is, how can I live my life to please God? How can I live my life for His glory, that I represent Him and not myself and not this, what can I get away with, which is so prevalent. Go ahead, you have something to say.
Well, because I'm looking at, I did a quick search wondering, okay, well, how much did Jesus even address sleeping with your girlfriend? You know, because that wasn't real popular in those days either. It was a real
hush-hush.
There was adultery was an issue he dealt with, and the prostitute. He dealt with the prostitute, and he even actually showed her mercy, okay? But I did a quick search for fornication, and it only comes up a couple times. Actually, in Matthew 19 and Matthew 5, and he only says that's the only cause for adultery is if your husband or wife are sleeping around on you. But he never addressed the issue of guys and gals shacking up and living. There was this woman at the well, right? And
he did address it there,
right. But he didn't. He didn't go right for the throat. He says, woman, give me a drink. Fine. It was real subtle. Yep. Why is it that you, being a Jew, would talk to me as a Samaritan? And as he started revealing more, she thought, well, I think you might be the Messiah. And he says, well, go call your husband and come here. Well, now it's time to deal with some of the secret sins of your life, because now you're looking at me as you think I'm the Messiah. Now we got some things we could talk about.
Now you'll listen. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the pattern of Jesus. And by the way, if Jesus didn't specifically mention something but his apostles teach it, then that's just as well. I mean, for our listeners' sake, you probably are aware of this, Ms. Chris, is that in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not, in verse 9, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, excuse me, I'm going to finish the list, nor revilers, nor extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. And so he dealt with it. Okay, now, isn't that enough? So you could say, well, okay, Paul said it, but Paul was a chauvinist, male chauvinist pig. You know, stop it. If Paul taught it, it's in the Word of God, and we need to accept it with authority.
One thing that Catherine put up on the Facebook feed is that Jesus addressed the issues of the heart, because that's what Jesus came to deal with, is the heart. Mm-hmm. The outward actions are only the
symptoms.
Thank you, of where the person's heart is. You know, it's like, it's not what you put in your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you in reality. So I love what Catherine put there, that Jesus himself addressed the issues of the heart, because that's where it all starts. That's where it all matters.
Yeah, I didn't stop and think about it. He only had like 3 years. We have 3 years worth of his teaching and preaching and miracles, and I don't know if he covered every topic there was to be covered, and that's why he commissioned the apostles to write write the majority of the New Testament, so that we can now understand a full picture. And I think most important topics that we need to know about, it's right there in the New Testament somewhere, and homosexuality definitely is one of them. But I like your spirit, Ms. Chris. I agree with you that it's there. But you gotta. How do you reach people? You don't start with a big hammer, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah. And my heart breaks for this. So you were a part of this whole ministry, and it fell apart because of the homosexuality issue.
No, I just had. I had gone to one of their big events. I had been years ago, and in their final tour. You know, they're like big Christian speakers that travel around the country. And so I had gone with a bunch of girlfriends and loved the speakers, bought many of their books and stuff. And they have big platforms across the country, but there were several now who have come out, and like churches, one of them, her husband's a pastor, and, you know, Jen Hatmaker, her husband's a pastor in, I think it's Austin, Texas. And then you have several others, but one of the gals that was speaking on the tour actually ended up leaving her husband and then married this professional soccer player. And so they both have really big platforms. And so I follow them on social media, and sometimes it's just so frustrating to see the things that they say, because they've come out that just it's all okay. And, you know, because Christ didn't say it, then, you know, it's not anything we need to worry about. So it's just, I just wanted to hear your take on it.
Yeah,
because I think it's really a...
Well, I share your frustration.
Yeah, it's such a shame, like I said before, that people will try to make an excuse for their sin rather than seek to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Catherine also put, I am so thankful that Jesus died for all sin and that anyone in any stage of life can be forgiven. He loves us and is patient. Amen. None of us ever live a perfect life. Right. And, you know, if we attempt to, okay, you're saved now. Now you got to do everything by the book. Well, we just moved into a cult. We just moved into works. You know, these are things where the Holy Spirit grows us. And we are this work in progress. And we will be till the day we go to be home with the Lord, because we live in a fleshy body. You know, we're never going to get it perfect. I don't care if it's the pastor, pastor's wife, just somebody sitting out in the pew. We all have things that we need to be working on.
Right.
We all have attitudes, and hopefully they're not the big blatant outward sins. Hopefully they're more of the attitudes of our hearts as we get older and more mature, that we can curb some of those big obvious sins, you know. But that's all of us. And anybody thinks, oh gosh, look at them, they're on the radio, they must be perfect. No, we're not. We're just people. And this is where the Lord happened to put us. And I think it's because we're willing to talk about pretty much anything, and we love the Lord, and we really do want to glorify Him in everything that we do. With a heart like that, even though our hearts they can get weird at times,
and they get
the Lord
broken
wants
sometimes.
To use us. Yes, yes.
Well, Miss Chris, we're going to let you go, but let me just make. You might have something too, but one more thing.
I was just,
good.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to clarify, because you were saying, where do you draw the line? And I think our listeners need to understand this too. When you're reaching out to the lost, there's a whole other approach than what you expect from the church. If somebody is lost, you don't go to them with a big club. You let them know about the love of God. And, of course, sometimes, you know, my good friend Ray Comfort uses the Ten Commandments. And in the right way, there's a right way and a wrong way of bringing all that in, explaining, because if we don't know we're a sinner, we'll never understand our need for the Savior. So you start differently with the lost. But for the church, you expect higher. You expect greater things from Christians. They are held to a higher standard. Now that you know the truth, especially teachers, these gals who were high platform teachers, and now they're you know, they're divorcing their husband, remarrying, make an excuse and saying because Jesus never mentioned it. Well, Jesus did mention adultery. He did teach about divorce, and you know, so let's talk about right now you and this issue that Jesus did talk about. But come on, we've already seen that it's in the Bible, it's in the New Testament, whether Jesus dealt with it or not. Anyway, I'm talking too much. But the big difference is between how you approach a non-believer is different than how you approach somebody who claims to be a Christian and is in leadership. You hold them to higher standards, and you approach them differently than somebody who's lost. You want to be more sensitive, like you were saying earlier. So anyway, there's something else you wanted to bring up.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I was listening to a gentleman named Christopher Ewan and his testimony, and he is a professor, has his PhD from Moody Bible Institute, but he actually was living, he's coming here to the Valley, I think, on the 15th of March, and he's speaking all over, but anyway, he lived a homosexual lifestyle, got caught up in drugs, was HIV positive, and was saved with a Gideon's Little Bible in prison. And then the Holy Spirit really convicted him through reading the Word of his sexual sin. And so it's an amazing testimony. I bet your wife would love to listen to it, especially since she went through it with her sister. But it was just a really, really neat testimony about how God saved him. And then really, it was the Holy Spirit who convicted him. And then he went on to go to Bible school and then get his PhD. And so now he's a professor there at Moody Bible Institute.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, now, I wouldn't say don't say anything, let the Holy Spirit convict people, because there's a time and a place for everything. I mean, if somebody was coming to me as their pastor and looking for discipleship, and you know, I find out something in their life and I have it's the right setting, the right they're looking for answers, then I will gently guide them to repentance and faith in Christ. So there's a time and a place for everything. But you know what? Some people, they just need to get alone with their Bible and hear from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that, wow, that's a powerful story. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you want it to happen.
It's amazing.
Yeah. What bothers me is when people get alone with their Bible and they still don't get it.
Yeah. Well, the chaplain, it was interesting because he said that he asked the chaplain about his lifestyle. And the chaplain told him it was totally fine, that Jesus never said anything about it.
So, there
again, you have, you know, a chaplain in a prison that told him his lifestyle was fine. And it was really God convicted him.
Yeah.
I mean, he studied God's word, and it was really through the study of God's word that the Holy Spirit, you know, convicted him of that sin. So it's a fascinating testimony.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, you would, watch that. But anyway, thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling, and
yes,
I think it's a worthy topic to discuss, and I agree with you on this issue. And it's worth bringing up to our listeners. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, it's powerful to see what will happen when someone will, with an open heart, read their Bible. And that's what makes the difference. You know, even some of these questionable churches that you think, even the one I was alluding to earlier, that he was careful not to offend homosexuals. If a homosexual will open up their Bible and read it with an open heart, God will touch them. Oh, wow, that's loud. And the Holy Spirit will minister to them. So, folks, anyway, we're out of time, but I think the Lord said just what he wanted to say. I hope he blessed and ministered to you. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to you.